A prominent supporter of the use of animals in scientific researches in town, Tom Holder founded the British group Protest in 2006 and earlier this year a US counterpart called Speaking of Research. Earlier today, Holder spoke at the UC Davis Primate Centre. He joins us now by phone. Tom Holder, welcome to Insight.
Good afternoon.
You're not a scientist, as I understand. Your degree is in politics, philosophy and economics. Why are you interested in the use of animals for research as an issue?
The whole issue became very big during my time at university, at which point Oxford University was under concerted attack by animal rights extremism. And the whole issue there made me look at the general issue of animal research. And the more I looked at it, the more I realized it wasn't just something that I should agree with, but something that really needs to be defended at a time where it was under threat.
When you see animal rights extremism, what do you mean by that exactly?
Animal rights extremism is when they go beyond the law to try and sell their message across to the public. So, for instance, in Oxford, they put 3 gallons of petrol in the boathouses, causing $1 million damage, and then put bombs around the campus. But more recently in Santa Cruz, we've seen a family have to escape out a top floor window because animal rights extremists have put firebombs at the front door.
When you were at Oxford, though, the actions of what you call animal rights extremists did not personally affect your studies, your own research. How did it touch you? What caused you to become actively involved in this issue?
Well, it was affecting everyone. The fact is that those students who it didn't matter what subject you were doing, as you moved around the university, you would often be harassed by animal rights activists, that the boathouses, which were student-run, student-owned, was an attack against students. And in fact, they followed it up saying all students were legitimate targets for their campaign.
My guest is Tom Holder, co-founder of Protest, a group in Britain that supports the right of scientists to use animals in research. He now lives in the US and has founded a similar group called Speaking of Research. He spoke earlier today at the UC Davis Primate Center. What do you say to people who are passionate supporters of animal rights but do not do extreme or violent things in support of their cause?
Well, I respect their beliefs, but at the same time, I think that unfortunately they put, or their views are not ones which can be reconciled with modern medicine. The fact is that without animal research, we would not have had penicillin, insulin, or more recently, Herceptin for breast cancer and Gardasil for cervical cancer.
But penicillin and insulin, those were discovered a long time ago.
Both of them are, but they're still used a huge amount. In fact, in this country, we prescribe 150 million antibiotics every single year, and most of those antibiotics will all have been a product of animal research. In fact, just about all of them.
Yes. Do you think that scientists should at least be working towards the elimination of all use of animals for research, for example, by using computer modeling and so on?
Well, the word alternatives is somewhat a misnomer because, in fact, these methods are used, but they're used alongside the animal research. Animal research continues to be a small part of research, but it is a small but vital piece. Essentially, computer models, for instance, have shortcomings. Most of the actual data created that you put into the computer will be from animal models. And much of the time, we simply don't have the raw computing power. Similarly, test tubes and whatnot don't have a full organ system, so you can't see what happens as a very complex body like humans and animals, what happens when different parts interact with each other and when drugs interact with one part, get broken down, then move into another part of the body.
I know that animal rights supporters would say, well, all of that is fine and may well be true, but animals have no control over how they're treated, and therefore humans don't have the right to take over their bodies and perhaps even inflict pain on them.
Well, I think then the animal rights groups have the wrong target on the grounds that we use at max 25 million animals in this country, which about 95%. Are birds, rats, mice, and fish. and we use 9 billion chickens each year for food. So considering that the conditions in labs are probably the most highly regulated with animals of any industry in America, one must consider that they really have the wrong target if they're simply there to improve animal welfare.
Speaking of conditions in labs, though, you probably heard the story about the 32 research monkeys who died in an accident at a lab in Nevada, in Sparks, Nevada. There was a serious problem with the heating system, and the monkeys died. How do you respond to stories like that?
Well, that sounds like an absolutely terrible tragedy, and I hope that the inspectors will go in and ensure that such a thing could never happen again. But, I mean, it is worth noting that similar accidents happen to people around the world. There's just some things where it is not the norm. It is a freak accident that just happens to occur. I don't know more about that specific incident, I'm afraid, so I can't comment directly on it. But I would hope that inspectors would go in and ensure that such a thing could never happen again.
Are you confident that scientists in the United States and Britain and other Western countries are doing everything they can to minimize the use of animals in research and to minimize discomfort or pain that might be caused?
Yes, scientists hold very true to a rule called the three R's, which are principles of good science made by scientists for scientists. They are refinement, which is essentially making the lives of animals better in order to reduce stress and all sorts. Reduction, using as few animals as possible to get the results, and replacement, wherever it is possible to replace with a non-animal method, legally scientists must use that.
Do you distinguish between different types of animals? In other words, do you think that perhaps there are certain types of testing that can be done on rats but that could not be done in chimpanzees, for example?
Well, the in this country, there are IACUC committees which ensure that the benefits or potential benefits to humans or indeed animals, since most veterinary medicine comes through animal research, outweighs the cost to any animals being used in the experiment. And thus, we would never use, for example, a large group of monkeys to try and make another Tylenol-type drug. But if it was for AIDS research, then we would very likely use monkeys, partly because they're more suitable models in that case. However, there is an ongoing effort to use the lowest suitable animal wherever possible. And with the increasing use of transgenic mice, we're finding that mice models are becoming more and more suitable and are taking over. In fact, monkeys, dogs, and cats together account for only 0.5% of all the research on animals in this country.
When you spoke earlier today at the UC Davis Primate Center, I assume you were speaking with scientists and students who are studying to become scientists. What are you saying to those people? Are you rallying them? Are you making specific proposals for changes in the law or what?
Essentially, I tell them about the experiences in the UK, about how when scientists come together, we find that the violence surrounding the issue goes down. I talk to them about the science just to ensure that everyone knows how to present the scientific arguments to those who are not always well-versed in science. And finally, to try and convince them to do things such as to speak at a local school to counter, say, PETA information on animal research, or to speak up just to friends. One of my main points is that people need to just talk to each other about what goes on in animal laboratories and talk about the conditions in them and how they're actually very impressive. This kind of activity, just so that the information is out there for the public to make an informed decision.
You got involved in this work in 2006 when you were studying at Oxford University in England, but you moved to the United States in March of this year. Why did you move to the US?
I'd finished my degree, and immediately after finishing my degree, I continued to work with protest for a little longer. Now, it seems in the UK that we have beaten the animal rights extremists, and by we, I mean the entire population of the UK has beaten it. And so the next challenge was really over here. I thought it would be an interesting thing to try and make a similar organisation to protest. And I also thought that it appears that people don't have the information ready here in the US. They're just not aware of some of the truths behind animal research, because many animal rights organizations are actively trying to misinform the public on the issue.
When you see, when you talked about we in the United Kingdom prevailing on this matter, are you talking there about prevailing over what you call extremists, or are you talking about winning an intellectual argument over the right to use animals in research? Because a lot of people who support animal rights are not extremists or violent.
Sure, and I think it's both. Certainly we have beaten back extremism, which has gone right down in the UK, thanks to efforts from the police, the government, and from the people not giving support to extremism anymore. However, we've also won the what you might call the more academic argument. People are starting to realise when polls are taken, it turns out that 80 to 90% of the general population support animal research. And a lot of that is hard support, so it doesn't matter how you ask the question. Whereas here, the percentages you get from the public seem to very much depend on how you ask the question, whether you include medicine as a word in the question, whether you use the words animal research or animal testing, things like that.
Okay. That's Tom Holder, co-founder of Protest, a group in Britain that supports the right of scientists to use animals in research. He now lives in the US and has founded a similar group called Speaking of Research. He spoke earlier today at the UC Davis Primate Center. Tom Holder, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.